Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. I am one of your hosts and your co-facilitator. Look that up if you don't know what that is. Jeff Roni, and next to me is the lovely, the wondrous...
Colleen Roni.
Yeah, because I can't imitate your voice. No. I needed you to say something.
No, you can't.
So, it is really an incredible day. We've had another incredible week. There's so many great things that are going on with this podcast, this blog, the emails and the voicemails. It's just been really incredible. And I wanted to do just a bit of housekeeping. Mm. It's not about a review or anything. It's just, I think we need to kind of refocus a little bit. And I wanted to kind of change the focus a little bit. In the past, we've asked for the generous cast members to leave voicemails and everything. We are totally grateful to Mig and Jeffrey and all the folks that were involved in the voicemails that were left. Thank you so much. And we really appreciate that. But I really kind of want to change the focus now into really growing the audience of this podcast. And that's the way I think we really need to go, because I really want to make this a place where it's almost like the first thought of how do I get a message to the fans? I'll call the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast.
Right. That's well, I think the cast members, they all know. Oh, they're all very well aware. Yep. So I don't think there's any reason for us to, you know, ask them regularly. I think they've already got the invitation. Mig knows how to get a hold of us, especially.
Yep. Yep.
And I think they all know that he does. And now, you know, a couple of others know how to get a hold of us as well. So I just think, like you said, let's focus on, okay, now where are we going next with the podcast?
Yep. And I totally agree. They know we're here. Mm-hmm. ABC knows we're here. Yeah. So it's not a matter of, you know, let them know we're here. They know.
We don't need
They're fully aware.
Right. We don't need to get their attention. Yeah. They know. It's just and by the way, I'm sure that, you know, they're very busy right now.
True.
It's award season and they're filming, and so I mean, you know, I get it. I mean, it'd be nice, but I totally get it. So
yeah, the invitation is always open. Yeah. And I think that's a known fact.
Yeah.
That any cast member can call whenever they have a free moment, and we'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's really nice to kind of leave an invitation open, and as a surprise, it happens.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that's kind of what I want to, that's what I want it to be. I want it to be a nice, happy surprise.
Yeah.
So. But I have put together kind of a list of some steps that can give some folks some ideas of how to promote our show and how to meet new people and find new places to maybe introduce it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, we don't want to be pushy with that, you know, kind of making people, hey, you need to listen to us. But it's like, if you enjoy the show, you might enjoy this podcast.
Sure.
And so, you know, there's a balance to it.
But absolutely.
That's where I think we need to go, is really kind of build the audience out.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got more emails here than I could have ever even imagined. The voicemails were incredible. Once we get to a point where we don't know what to do, when you get 100 voicemails or 100 emails, we're going to have to make a decision of how to handle that.
Yeah.
Whether we post it on the website or something like that, so they can be heard and all that. But, you know, I don't think we can do a 2-hour show every week.
No.
You know, there have been some kind people that said, we'll listen to it. But I'm just trying to think of the whole group of listeners. And I really like to keep it at an hour if I could, the regular show. So
yeah. Feedback more tends to go a little longer, right. And that's okay. But yeah, you're right. When you get to 100 emails or 100 voicemails, oh my goodness, you're talking several hours worth of material. And it's not like we can't do that. But again, and it's not like we don't want to. That's the other thing. That's the important thing. It's not like, believe me, we want to. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, I know some people have the desire and the time to listen to a 2 or 3 hour podcast, but we are a little busy, and I know a lot of other people are too.
Well,
so we'll figure out what to do. We'll take care of it, but we'll figure out we just haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah. We love any voicemail. We love any email. Oh, yeah. We love it all.
We do.
But it's just, I'm trying to think of the folks that listen and also kind of balancing our life and, you know, our responsibilities and things like that. So anyhow, that's that. But just a couple of quick things and then we'll dive in is I did release the 2 interviews separate from any show. I was kind of on the fence about it. And I almost said, well, I'll put it as part of a show. But then I said, no, that's going to be, you know, a half hour or so or whatever longer. And I said, I'll just release it as separate thing. So there may be some people that say, my God, Jeff, 5 things a week or, you know, this is crazy, but you know, take them, you know, a bit at a time. Maybe some people really enjoy the regular show. They may or may not be more interested in the feedback and more, or they really don't want the interviews. We don't have a lot of interviews scheduled now.
Right.
So the 2 that I've released, we're done for now. You know, we'll book some more and all that. But so, you know, and I know that that may be daunting for people. So we're trying to kind of cover as many bases as possible so that we're not just an opinion discussing show. I want to do some interviews. I want to do some kind of different things to pull in different points of the audience members. For instance, Karine, she sent an email in, and I know Helga was the same type of scenario coming to the show through Ravelry and the knitting groups.
Right.
I would have never thought in a million years that a group of knitters would be interested in Once Upon a Time. It would have never have occurred to me. And so having the interview with Caitlin, I think, was really, really cool because the knitters that enjoy Once Upon a Time feel like, wow, you know me, or at least you brought an interview about something that I know about. And
right.
It's not just the show. And the same thing when we interviewed Christine. We have a person from Steveston that emailed us. And we'll read the email, but it's going to blow your mind. So because we've now reached out to Steveston and said, you know, not only do we love the show, but we really want to focus on the town that really becomes Storybrooke. And so it's just exciting kind of expanding into these new groups and these new opportunities with these great folks. And so that really kind of comes back to what we're talking about before. Grow the audience. Find a new group that we may not have reached that might enjoy this show and offer it to them. And so we can kind of grow out and, you know, continue with the iTunes reviews and all that. It's just exciting. It's just really incredible. We got some business cards. It's like, you know, a lot of times my wife is, Colleen is the voice of reason. And so, you know, I usually would come and say, I need business cards. And she kind of looked at me and said, no, not yet. Okay. You know, from my other shows, you know, that 4 people listen to. But this time she says, yeah, let's do this. So it's exciting. You know, just incredible things going on. I put on the site a map of the street, Moncton Street in Steveston. And we're putting in all the shops, the real life names of the shop, plus the names in Storybrooke. And we got a listener, and I'll read you the email later, that lives near Steveston, knows these places, and is really giving some great help to me to put this together. So it's really exciting. One last thing I want to talk about, and then we'll jump into the emails, promise. we try to do things here different. And one of the things that I didn't want to jump into, because there's another podcast, the Once Podcast is doing it. Mm-hmm. There's also a fan site that's doing it. And that is the timeline. And there's already two that are being worked on. And David B., great friend of the show, asked in a comment if we might do a timeline. And as much as I like to do kind of the blog post and the screen caps and all this thing, the timeline is going to be pretty time intensive. Now, just the work involved. And I know that a lot of people have sent in some information, but I think just the idea of how to present it on a website, the only way I can think about it, and I'm going to geek out for a second, is doing something up and down. And I, you know, because to do it straight across, I don't know how to do it. I mean, the blog's on a WordPress blog and all that. So if we do a timeline, I can't really be too involved in the kind of day-to-day decision here and there doing different things. I think the key to how we do it is it has to be a little different and really good. And I know that everyone is kind of sending in some information. So we can do it, but I really need some input of how to present it and that kind of a thing. I mean, it may come down to doing some type of a Word document or something and then kind of presenting it that way. But then it's a lot of editing here and there. So tell me what you would like, how you would want it to be done. And then we'll kind of decide how to do it. But it's just, you know, it was pretty daunting and there's a lot of work involved. And I know that I think we can do it, but it's more of, to be honest, you know, all I really want is something that I can just kind of post somewhere. Because there's a lot of work involved. I'm not whining. I'm just saying there's a lot of work involved with a timeline. So
are you asking if somebody is willing to take on that task and provide one? We'd be happy to post it.
Yeah, I mean that could be it as well.
I think that's a fantastic idea. We have an awful lot of really good and smart and helpful and kind and generous listeners. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we might have a listener or two who might be interested in doing this.
Yep.
Just saying.
Well, and also too is I really want to thank everyone who sent in information and little bits here and there. So I just want you to know that it's important and we really appreciate it, but it's like, I don't have the time. So if somebody could kind of get behind the helm and put it together, I can send you the information I've got and then we'll post it here. And, you know, maybe if there's some changes here and there, that person can kind of make some tweaks here and there. I would really, really appreciate it. I'll give you credit on the site. So, you know, that's what I offer to you. And so, one last teeny thing, just a it's only 13 minutes. Sure. The thing is, spoilers have become kind of a more reminded topic.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about this show is it's a little bit different. And there's a lot of sites out there that offer spoilers. And I really don't want to do that. I to me, it's more fun looking at what's released and kind of theorizing and guessing what's going to happen instead of getting a spoiler, already knowing it. Now, nothing against the folks that enjoy the spoilers. Nothing at all.
Right.
I think it's fantastic. Okay. But for me, I would rather not have that. And it saves me a little searching time and researching time to just kind of deal with what's out there, even the little sneak peek things that ABC releases, and theorizing from there.
Right. So. And I totally agree. I mean, there's something kind of fun about guessing and coming up with your own idea and where would you go with it in your own head.
Right.
But if you, you know, if you review a spoiler, you kind of go, well, I already know that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not as much fun. And if we did spoilers all the time, then we wouldn't have nearly the feedback we do.
True.
So I, that's just my opinion.
So spoiler links have come in and they come in with a fair amount of regularity, and I wanted to kind of address it and say, I appreciate it. I don't read them. Mm-mm. And I don't put them on the show.
No, we don't.
So I just kind of wanted to remind, because sometimes you have to remind when you're on a cruise ship, sometimes people get involved with what's going on the ship. And sometimes there's somebody on the loudspeaker that has to say, oh, just a reminder, we're going to Hawaii. That's right. We're going to Hawaii. We're doing some, you know, we're climbing a rock wall here. But, oh, that's right. We go to Hawaii. So there's so much going on that I think it's good to remind folks.
No, I think it's good.
Of what.
It's fine.
So.
We appreciate the information, but we don't read it and we won't be posting it before those things happen.
Yep.
Just that's our policy. We've made that our policy. So.
Yep.
All right.
So, emails aplenty.
Yes. Now, considering we already have taken up quite a bit of time in the show, I would like to point out that, you know, as we're reading through these emails, some of them, they're going to be pretty long emails, which is great. We love those. But to kind of process them a little faster, we may want to paraphrase what's being said.
Okay.
I'm just, that's what I, my personal plan is, I'm staying it right up front because I don't want somebody to go, I didn't say that. I said right. it like this. Well, yeah.
They wouldn't have that kind of attitude.
No, I know. But I'm just saying.
All right.
I'm just saying.
So, perfect.
All righty.
Okay. So, I will start here with an email from Karen in Maryland. This is a fun one. It says, hi, guys. Here's a fun thing. I just had a Snapple Diet Tea. She was thinking about the show when she was drinking tea. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And the real fact number 816 inside my lid is, in ancient Greece, throwing an apple to a woman was considered a marriage proposal. Huh?
Wow.
So I wonder if this will ever pop up in the show. Love your podcast. Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Heck, it might. Every single time. They show the table in Regina's office. There's the apples. There's
oh, she's the got apples all over the place. Yeah,
you know, so
she's very big on apples. Yeah, that is. I did not know that that was a marriage proposal thing back in the day.
I thought she was gonna throw an apple at either Mr. Gold or Sydney. Well,
yeah,
Regina, because
yeah.
she was upset.
Yeah, there
that
a couple
day.
Times she was pretty mad.
So.
So yeah, no, that's a fascinating bit of information. So we'll see what happens.
So there is a really great site if you do enjoy the spoilerific types of things. And it's, yeah, F, yes, once upon a time, but there's something else behind the F.
Hmm.
I wish they changed it. Can we take a collection and ask them?
I think the Twitter name actually changed.
Well, the Twitter is fine.
Yeah.
But the actual website, oh. If my grandma typed this in, she would faint.
Yeah, probably.
And my mom, too.
Probably.
Anyway, so let's see here. This is from David B. Jeff, anonymous person that he copied it from, said, on the topic of Rumpelstiltskin's son possibly appearing in the real world, wouldn't he be much older or even already dead from old age? Think of the timeline. Rumpelstiltskin helps Jiminy when Geppetto was only a boy. By the time the curse went into effect, Geppetto was an old man. Even if Rumpelstiltskin helped Jiminy shortly after becoming the Dark One, his son would have been around the same age as Geppetto. This means that if his son lived to see the curse come to be, he would be at least the same age as Geppetto, right?
Hmm. Wow.
So another comment was, I think that since Rumpelstiltskin was already the Dark One in that still small voice when Geppetto was a child, and Geppetto was an old man by the time of the pilot, then Rumpelstiltskin's son would either be extremely old or dead. You're both absolutely right, unless something magical happened. Rumpel's son would be at least as old as Geppetto. So it's very interesting. And then another person said, this could be crazy, but I was thinking as I scroll by your page, what happens if Rumpel's son is Henry's father? Could you imagine? So,
great, interesting theories on that.
I mean,
and I agree because, I mean, we know that Rumpelstiltskin's backstory, Desperate Souls, is by far the oldest bit of information because he was already the Dark One and everything else. So that has to be first in the timeline, since we're talking timelines. That's got to be the point, you know, the origin point of everything in timelines. And then, yeah, how many years before that, mm-hmm. because Rumpelstiltskin obviously has eternal life, so to speak, until somebody kills him with his own dagger. But ultimately, how old is he? We have no idea.
Good point. Yeah.
So even if, and I can see where they would say that, yeah, his son would be about the same age as Geppetto. I think actually his son would have been a couple years older because Geppetto only looked like he was maybe 10. Mm. So he looked closer to Henry's age to me, but that's just me. But I could be wrong. Bottom line is, either way, how many years before Jiminy Cricket met Geppetto did Rumpelstiltskin take place? So we don't know. Mm-hmm. So in theory, yes, it could be that he would be as old as Geppetto, or he could already be dead because he wouldn't have eternal life.
True.
That's just my thinking. And the fact that if he is Geppetto, same age as Geppetto, could he be Henry's father? It's an interesting thought. We don't know. We'll have to see what happens, won't we?
See, and that's what's cool about this show is it's not just, you know, no disrespect to any police drama, but a police drama is pretty linear. You know, there's just one story.
There are some that actually are very, they do a lot of character development.
True. But I don't think you would get 35 or 38 emails on
one episode?
A police episode.
And probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
So, I mean, that's why we do this podcast for the show.
That's exactly why we do this podcast.
So, David B. also sends in another cool email about somebody named Fred who has an interesting observation about a lost reference in episode 8. It says, things to like about this episode and things not to like. Oh, no. Whenever Rumpelstiltskin Mr. Gold appears on the screen, I'm really entranced with the acting. Too bad some of the other characters appear somewhat weak. Oh, no. Oh, well. Also, the A plot, B plot. Fire in both worlds to achieve what Rumpelstiltskin and Mr. Gold wants. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, the dagger / Emma as sheriff achievement to power in both cases. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
And the B plot, Rumpelstiltskin's son looks on him in honor, while in the A plot, Henry looks on Emma as a hero.
Mm-hmm.
The really bad part was the lost reference of having to kill the Black Knight or the Dark Lord, mm-hmm. the Dark One, to achieve power, just like Jacob's brother kills the mother and becomes a smoke monster.
Right.
Too much of a parallel, and I wish they would give up on this aspect. So, you know, and I thought that too, that it was kind of that similar thing. But there's some people that just don't like Lost. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, and I'm going to throw this out there. Granted, yes, there is a definite similarity between Lost. However, Lost was not an original idea either. Mm-hmm. How many stories from the past has there been a sacrifice that's had to be made in order to, you know, to get what needs to be done, or somebody killing somebody else to take their power? I mean, you go back biblical even.
Well, true. And
so
also,
I'm just saying it's not a new story. Right. I get that. Yes, there's the Lost parallel. However, yeah, it's not a new story. It's not like they're pulling directly from Lost. They might be, but again, Lost had to have been pulled from somewhere else. So that's all I'm saying.
Well, I even think Mayan.
I'm sure there's
the heart really is the power.
Oh, yeah.
of somebody else. So we're talking about all the way back, you know, and there's
go back to the beginning of time.
Right. Right.
I mean, this is not a new thing. Granted. Anyway, we beat that horse.
Yep.
It's dead.
So, David B. had another great email. It says, a sign in Storybrooke Town Hall. Mm-hmm. A sign says Storybrooke Town Hall, but Mr. Gold, in a conversation with Emma, mentions City Hall. So it could be interchangeable, but I think it is interesting that, you know, the two types of names are used. So
yeah, and I don't know what the difference is between city or town, or if there even is a city. I think they are interchangeable, but I don't know.
Yeah, we got in trouble last time. We just kind of said, I think. So,
well, but I don't know
the difference, so maybe somebody else
I can spend the time
does.
And look it up right now.
No, it's fine.
But I'd rather not guess right. and say, well, I think it's, you know. No, yeah. I don't know what it is. So I'm going to just say I don't know.
And we're still apologizing to Newfoundland and Rumpelstiltskin's leg. Okay. So the next email is about the number of people in the debate. If one assumes six seats across times 10 rows, on the left side there's 60 seats, plus 60 on the right side, it's 120 people, mm-hmm. plus 23 people standing, mm-hmm. that's approximately 143, minus two empty seats, equals 141 people. Mm-hmm. Emma, Sydney, Archie... approximately 144 people attended. Based on 144 attending, that's an interesting number, by the way. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And since some people couldn't attend, even if they wanted to, maybe they had to run their store or gas station or whatever, what would be a good estimate of how many people live in Storybrooke? In Maine, there are towns that range from a population of zero all the way to up over 64,000. That's a good question.
Yeah, it is an interesting question. I mean, it's kind of the similar thing where I'm going to do it, and it's going to make me mad. But the Lost in Lost, I mean, you had the people that survived the original survivors,
right?
And we thought that was it, and then all of a sudden you meet up with the others or the tail section folks. There's a handful there. So what was it, like 40 some odd supposedly survived,
right?
We don't know.
Yeah. And keep in mind, I think we brought it up the last feedback and more, is that this is not a regular town.
No, it's really not.
It's almost like a Twilight Zone town. So, yes. it looks like it's a real town.
Sure.
But it's really not. And there's differences mm-hmm. in it. So...
yeah.
There was an email from David B. about the name Humbert, which was Graham's last name that we saw in the newspaper.
Oh, okay.
Humbert means fame, and there was also a really cool comment post on the blog as well about this. It means famous warrior, derived from the Germanic elements Hun, warrior, bear, cub, and famous.
Hmm.
The Normans introduced this name to England, though it has always been uncommon there. It was born by two kings of England called Umberto in Italian, who ruled mm-hmm. in the 19th and 20th century. Thank you, David.
It's excellent. If in French, it would probably be pronounced Umber.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry. Just had to throw that in there. Okay, so let's see. This first message is from Mira, I believe is how you pronounce her name. Listening to your podcast, I just found it over the holidays and I'm enjoying it. As for Mr. Gold's limp, when the miller's daughter guesses Rumpelstiltskin's name, he gets upset and he grabbed his leg and pulled so hard it came off. So that's from the real fairy tale. And I'd forgotten that piece. When she guessed it, yeah, he did. I've heard that he pulled one leg so hard he split himself in two or something to that effect. So it depends on the version you hear. That's what I've heard. So that's an interesting theory, and we don't know how he got the limp, do we? It didn't really reveal it very well in Desperate
Souls.
Well,
no, I don't think she had a theory. She was just explaining it.
She was just explaining it.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I am saying we don't know how he got his limp.
True.
I don't know if we'll ever know. Maybe they'll tell us, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll just leave it at that.
Possibly.
Anyway. And notice he didn't have it after he became the Dark One?
Right. And, yeah.
So Mr. Gold has it, though.
The dark power took it away. But then when we shift to Storybrooke, it returns.
Right.
So.
Right. Anyway. Okay. here is an email from Helga, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here just because there's a handful of points. Although, you know what? This is an old email, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Well, maybe it is. Yeah, no, it is. This one we already read about the last time.
Okay.
So, actually...
All right, fair enough.
Thank you.
I was trying to get everything all kind of sorted out, maybe.
Okay, I think you may have grabbed one accidentally. Okay. One that we'd already addressed. So, here is, though, one from Obi's Girl. And actually, I think this is another one we've already read.
Okay.
Yes, excellent.
I'm making all kinds of mistakes.
Awesome. Today.
I can't pronounce words and...
You do one now.
Okay. So this is from Donna in SoCal. Hey, Donna.
Hey.
It says, I've enjoyed your podcast and want to encourage you both to continue with your insights. Don't pay attention to those negative people who just want to drag you down. We won't, and thank you very much. And I personally wouldn't give them any air time, as this would seem only to encourage them. And I'm not going to bring them up again. Now, I've heard several comments about the Snow White's coffin pieces found in the mine shafts. And while we were watching it, I agreed that it could be the coffin, but it struck me as more possible than that it was shards of the castle, which seemed to have the same patterns of glass and vines. When the evil queen finally succeeded at the curse, there was a scene where the castle starts exploding. The background of the castle walls had the same or very similar pattern, and there would be more pieces of that to be found than that of the small coffin. I haven't heard anyone else comment on that, so I thought I'd put my two cents in about it. What do you think? And thank you very much, Donna, for that email. Thank you. This has been next to probably Sheriff Graham being the big bad wolf, the most discussed point.
Yeah.
The glass that was found.
The most debated point. Not discussed, necessarily. Debated. Oh,
okay.
I would say debated. Because people do either absolutely agree that, yes, there's no question it's the coffin, and other people are saying, no, it could be this, could be that. So, yeah.
So, some people, I've heard, thought that it was a magic mirror. And what... Actually, it's been confirmed by Jane Epperson, the writer.
Espenson.
Sorry.
Get the sorry, right Jane. There, darling. Yeah.
So that it was a piece of the coffin. Now, you bring up a valid point in that that same type of design was in the walls of the castle. Mm-hmm. And I do remember that zoom in to the evil queen standing on the ledge or the balcony mm-hmm. of the castle. And I looked behind and I went, that reminds me of the coffin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it also did remind me of the, there was walls of Mary Margaret Blanchard's classroom mm-hmm. that had the same type of style. They were kind of cut out trees. Mm-hmm. And it looked very similar to me.
Mm-hmm. Silhouetted trees.
But you do bring up a valid point about how much of the pieces would be around. And obviously an exploding castle would have more than a coffin. But I think my personal opinion is when that coffin piece fell down through that shaft and hit the top of the coffin, that it was visually saying this was from this.
Yeah.
So I think it was kind of the director was leading you to mm-hmm. where it was.
Right.
And if you look, it was very interesting that, you know, we've kind of always said that Storybrooke is kind of over the fairy tale land. And if you look at that scene, I remember that it was almost like, not necessarily underwater, but it was very murky. That there wasn't direct sunlight onto the coffin.
Right.
But it was like, it was kind of, the light was going through something.
Filtered light. Right. Mm-hmm. It was definitely filtered.
And also one little thing that I don't think I've mentioned anywhere at all is in Mary Margaret's classroom is that there's a lot of shots of prehistoric and the earth crust and all that. And I believe that that's also a nod to the fact that Storybrooke is a layer above fairy tale land.
Mm-hmm.
So just my two cents on that. But thank you very much, Donna,
yes,
for that email. Want me to read another one?
Well, you can. I've got one here, though, that I know is brand new.
Okay. Sorry, folks. Sorry. That's how we... I should always... Sorry.
We just have to start marking them. Yeah. Anywho, this is from Helga, and she talks about the fact that she was reading archives and found another crafter that's working on the show. And so this person, Melonhead Knitwear 491, apparently was on set doing consulting on repairs of a great wheel, designing how to spin straw into gold, and working as a tech on set for filming any scenes using the spinning wheels. It was great fun. Living in Vancouver gives textiles people a lot of opportunity to work with the film industry. I saw the blankie in the prop room on a shelf and just had to give it a squeeze. So soft. That's really cool.
Now, when she said great wheel,
mm-hmm,
was it large wheel or a very cool looking spindly Rumpelstiltskin-y wheel?
I think she was referring to this Rumpelstiltskin spinning wheel, and okay, I don't know whether it was great referred to the size or the coolness of it.
Okay.
I'd like to think it was both.
Okay.
Because Rumpelstiltskin is pretty cool.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Desperate Souls changed my mind about him.
Okay.
Well, confirmed what I kind of already thought anyway.
She's a Rumpelstiltskin fan.
Yes.
So, you have another one?
I do.
Okay.
And this one is also a new one. Sorry.
Okay.
I got to tease you a little bit.
Okay.
Come on.
All right.
It's only because I love.
I know.
Okay. Well, this one is from Karine. And it's, hope you're having a wonderful year so far. And it's Karine again. I was listening to podcast number 9, and I was pleasantly surprised to hear you play the voicemail I left about the Henry Miller's daughter, Feathers, Swan, and Mr. Gold. But then you went on to call me Hillary a few times after that. So bummed. I'm not Hillary. I'm Karine, although I can understand the confusion. Hillary and I are identical twin cousins born from identical twin mothers who married identical twin brothers. Screw science. The Patty Duke Show has proved this is possible. Yet another bird reference I thought of, and this one is a stretch, I'll grant you, but nonetheless, all bases must be covered. The place Henry was born was Phoenix, legendary bird of healing powers and death rebirth through the ashes. Henry's wish of Emma bringing back the happy endings and ending the curse. Will that mean that the current world, Emma will have to stop existing since it never happened? In the case of a reversal, everything back to what it was before the curse, which would mean that Henry, her son in the current world, was never born. Not to say a version of him couldn't exist in fairy tale world with death, rebirth, the legend of the phoenix. So, first things first, yes, we apologize, Karine, so deeply.
Sorry.
Because the thing is that if I remember correctly, Karine is from Colorado. Is that correct? Now we're scaring me. Okay, I thought the whole point of the confusion was that we'd had a Hillary who called from, I thought it was Colorado.
Right.
And then when Karine called and said she was from Colorado, I think that kind of threw us off kilter.
Regardless, we're sorry.
Yes, we are. We apologize deeply because that was really bad. But if it makes you feel any better, somebody referred to me as Maureen, so
It was a nice comment.
Well, so it's a very nice comment, and I'm happy. I've had more confusion on my name than you can shake a stick at. I'm sure she has too. And I've even actually been called Karine. So it's kind of funny, and so I feel your pain. Anyway, yes, as far as the whole Phoenix thing, we've talked about this a little bit, but we haven't really delved too much into it. But I totally agree that, you know, with the fact that he was born in Phoenix, which we believe is a very strong reference to the legend of the Phoenix, so to speak, because I don't want to call it a fairy tale. But the story of the Phoenix and how it's born out of ashes, and then anyway, we agree that, yeah, what will happen to Henry when fairy tale world is basically restored?
It's a big question.
How is he going to exist? Mm-hmm. Can he? Will he? We don't know. It's possible. I mean, anything's possible. They could do just about anything they wanted. So it'll be interesting to see how they deal with it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have an email from Obie's Girl. Hi, Obie's Girl. Hey, Jeff, finally watched the new episode last night and had some thoughts about the dagger the Dark One carried. Remember earlier in the episode, the bully, I don't know his name, but the soldier who made Rumple kiss his boot, said Rumple had no riches and power. Rumple is a lonely poor man who only had his son, Balfire. So I think when Rumple killed the Dark One, the dagger revealed Rumple's true intentions. His motivation for going after the dagger was so he could have power to prevent his young son from going to war. But could his real intentions have been more selfish? Maybe he really wanted power for himself all along. If that is the case, that is very similar to Anakin Skywalker in the Star Wars prequels. Anakin kept saying that he needed more power to save Padme from dying in birth, but he always whined about wanting more power and that he wasn't the Jedi he wanted to be. I think it's the same case with Rumple. I'm not saying he doesn't love his son, but his hidden intentions for going after the dagger were different than his said intention. Now, about Rumple's son, we didn't get to see what happened to him after Rumple killed that big bully and his guards. We also haven't seen him during the first half of the series, so my question is, what happened to him? That's a very popular question.
Yes, it is.
I don't think Rumple killed his own son because that would be the opposite action of what he wanted. But Rumple's son is not there for the rest of the story, and I'm curious if maybe he ran away after Rumple became the new Dark One. And that could have fueled Rumple's obsession with possessing the fairy tale character's firstborn. But I hope Rumple's son, Balfire, is not dead because that would be very sad. That's true. Also, what if Rumple's son is somewhere in Storybrooke? Could there be an episode where Emma helps Mr. Goal reunite with his son? That would be interesting. That also could be part of that in-game thing.
Mm-hmm.
That when maybe Rumpelstiltskin tries to destroy Emma, mm-hmm. and maybe take the power of breaking the curse, his son steps in, maybe he's really old, and says, "You will not do this." Very much like Luke did, kind of. Anyway, that's interesting that the son may at the end kind of tell the father to shape up.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe take the lumps instead of trying to use magic to overthrow and get more power. So
yeah, that's very, very possible.
So also, if that would be interesting. And if Emma helped Mr. Gold find his son, would that satisfy the debt that she owes him? That's interesting as well. By the way, I just Googled the name of Rumple's son, Balfire. There's plenty of fantasy stuff associated with his name. There's a Balfire dragon, which is from the game Magic the Gathering. A version of the name is also a weapon from the Wheel of Time. Interesting.
Hmm.
Some fantasy game. There's also something called the Balfire Blade. It's the name of the Paranormal Investigation Agency in Pennsylvania and a jeweler's company. It's also the pen name of a fan fiction writer who likes Merlin fan fiction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just thought that was interesting, but it definitely shows that the writers did the research in naming this kid because there's a lot of fantasy connections associated with his name. Rumple's story is definitely one of the earliest stories in the fairy tale world. We totally agree. But we still don't know how early it was. Finally, I'm thinking that the Dark One is not the original Dark One, and he is more like the Dread Pirate Roberts from Princess Bride. What was that? I don't remember.
Wait, say that again?
The Dread Pirate Roberts?
What about him?
From The Princess Bride? Okay, let me start again.
Start that again.
Finally, I'm thinking that the Dark One is not the original Dark One.
Oh, right.
And he's more like the Dread Pirate Roberts from The Princess Bride, who shares the secret with an heir so he can carry on the legacy.
And you're confused by that because you're not as familiar with...
Correct. That is right.
Okay. Princess Bride, I've only seen it like at minimum 100 times.
Right.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. I can quote scenes from it. the point of the Dread Pirate Roberts is that when Wesley becomes Dread Pirate Roberts, he has to explain to Buttercup that he's not the original Dread Pirate Roberts. He inherited it from the one before him, who basically passed on the name to him. It was all in the name, because who would be afraid of a Dread Pirate Wesley? So it was Dread Pirate Roberts, and then what would happen is that that guy actually inherited it from Dread Pirate Roberts. So what was happening was, in order for Wesley to become Dread Pirate Roberts, the man who was the Dread Pirate Roberts at that time basically started deferring to him and started mingling with the crew and started kind of deferring to him that everyone would realize he was, and so he became Dread Pirate Roberts.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. It's passed on the torch.
Okay.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. You got one?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So this is from Christy Davis. I also love... Oh, hi there, Jeff and Colleen. I also love Once Upon a Time, and I absolutely love your podcast. I'm also a Mega Lost fan from SoCal. Go SoCal. Although we love Canada, too. I've been trying to catch up on your podcasts, almost there. Excellent. To see if you mentioned this Lost connection, but I haven't heard it yet. In the heart... is a lonely hunter. Sheriff Graham awakes in a panic in bed next to the mayor. He says he had a dream, but it was more like a memory. This is almost exactly the same scene and dialogue that is in Because You Left season 5 of Lost, when Desmond awakes in bed next to Penny on their sailboat after having the memory slash dream about meeting Faraday and hearing that he needs to find Eloise Hawking to find out how to save those left on the island.
Mm-hmm.
See comparison of the dialogue below. Because I was in the middle of season 5 of our Lost rewatch, me and my kids ages 13 and 9, I had just recently seen that episode, so when I heard it on Once Upon a Time, it immediately caught my attention. Once Upon a Time from entertainmentweekly.com. And Sheriff Graham awoke with a start. The hunt wasn't just a flashback. It was a memory dream. He remembered everything and stupidly shared it with Regina. She told him to go back to sleep, as it was clearly only a dream. It didn't feel like a dream, he said. It felt like a memory. Lost from Lostpedia. Penny said, "You're safe now. It was just a dream." And Desmond said, "It wasn't a dream, Pen." Desmond looked at her solemnly, then whispers, "It was a memory." So, dreams and memories. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Dreams and memories. And
the difference between the two is interesting.
Yes. Now, I while you're doing that, I did a little tiny bit of research.
Okay.
Because what struck me was the name of Rumpelstiltskin's son.
Right.
Now, according to the spelling and the pronunciation that I can find for it, according to IMDb, as well as Wikipedia, it's Balefire, B-A-E-L, not B-A-L-F-I-R-E.
Okay.
So there's a difference, because when I look up Balefire, there's nothing. But if you look up B-A-E-L, there's actually a tree, the Bale tree, which is also known as the Bengal quince or the stone apple tree.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Wow,
very cool.
Yeah.
It grows, it's native to India. But it's also present throughout Southeast Asia, and its fruit are used in traditional medicine and as food. So the fruit is similar to, according to this, it's similar to the size of a grapefruit or a pomelo.
Hmm.
And it has to be, the shell is so hard it has to be cracked with a hammer or machete. And the yellow pulp is very aromatic. And it's been described as tasting of marmalade and smelling of roses.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah.
No, sorry. I just had to go back to that because I wanted to make sure, not to say that that research wasn't good. That was good research, because there could be a dual connection, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. I think that that's what they do, is they find multiple connections.
Well, you know, what happens is I have been kindly taken to task on stretching things too far. And maybe I do. But the bottom line is, names are important,
they
places are important, and they all mean all these different things.
Right.
And if you don't think that the writers did this type of research, you are mistaken.
Yeah, because they absolutely did.
Because, I mean, I think they have all kinds of fun saying, we'll name him Balefire, you know?
Yeah, they didn't just make that up. I'm sure they had to do some sort of research.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the interesting thing, too. I just thought about this, and we've never, it hasn't been come up yet at any point that I've seen. But who is Snow White in the real world? Mary Margaret.
Right.
People refer to her as M.M. Emma.
Right.
Spell it.
Right.
E-M-M-A.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's kind of interesting. At the heart of the word Emma is Mary Margaret's initials. Just stretching a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard that actually. So that's cool. And I have listened to every podcast out there. And I do my best to kind of keep up and scroll around and read some the different blogs. So,
anywho.
Okay. I have one here from Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to suspect that Red Riding Hood is actually Rose Red from the original fairy tale, making her Snow's sister. It's been bugging me why her and Granny were at the war council table in the pilot. And this makes more sense if they were related. Plus, wouldn't a grandmother be making a baby blanket for her grandchild? I realize I could be way off, but it sure sounds plausible. Great podcast, by the way. Thank you very much, Shirley. And no, I don't think it's too far off at all.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, look, we know that they're taking these fairy tale characters from the fairy tales we know, but they're stretching a lot of the information that's in them, in their stories that they're creating. They're not following exact fairy tale stories. Do you know what I'm saying? Because otherwise nobody would know Rumpelstiltskin's name. So that's one glaring thing right there. So I don't think it's too far-fetched to assume that Red Riding Hood, Ruby, could be Rose Red. We assume she's Red Riding Hood because, you know, there's so many things that tie into that and it fits more closely. But that doesn't mean that she's not Rose Red. So who knows?
Right.
I don't think it's completely far-fetched. And maybe what they did was they kind of did an amalgam of the two. They, you know, blended the two characters kind of into one and then kind of crafted the fairy tale facts around to make the interesting story.
Sure.
So I'm all about that.
Are you going to read?
I am.
Okay.
I am. Cool. Okay. This one, I'm going to have to paraphrase this one just because as I was reading through, I got myself confused. So I think I figured out what exactly we're saying here. So this is from Helga, and she is brainstorming. She says, okay, so if Snow and Charming seem happy at the wedding of Ella and Thomas, would they really be happy if the curse had been threatened? So she's thinking that Snow and Charming were married right after Ella and Thomas, because after the wedding, Ella's pregnant, and Rumpel gets locked up in jail, and Snow is pregnant. So maybe Ella just had a forever pregnancy and was pregnant at the same time, and Emma was early because of the timing, you know, because Ella was pregnant when, but see, we don't know if Snow and Charming were married when Ella was pregnant. They weren't married when she and Thomas got married.
Right.
But they got pregnant at some point in time afterwards. So were they pregnant together? And then Emma ended up early. I mean, was Snow already pregnant? When, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Because she's saying maybe when the curse hit, Ella was still pregnant. And so that's why in Storybrooke, Ashley is pregnant and alone. She also thinks that the reason that Thomas or Shane was in Storybrooke, but disappeared in fairy tale world is because Snow and Charming thought they had time. And then Emma's born and then the curse came at the same time. If that makes sense. So basically Shane's there because but he wasn't with Ashley because Thomas disappeared at the well.
Right.
So that's why he's not with Ashley. That's why she's alone because she ended up alone in fairy tale world. But remember, Thomas didn't die. He just disappeared.
Right. And that keeps coming up a lot. And I think we did talk about it. Dead is dead. And they stay in fairy tale land in a crypt or something.
Yeah, so that's our assumption.
That's kind of where we're going with that.
Yep.
Hey there, check this. There's a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is oncepodcast@gmail.com. Our blog web address is at aclosereloukOUAT.ronyzone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Now, back to the show.
This is one of my favorite emails right here.
Okay.
This is the opposite of kind of what we dealt with in our Meanies episode. I really enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from Lori. Said, I just found your podcast yesterday and downloaded a few to see if I would like the show. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I love the insights and theories from another person's point of view. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
However, since I never watched the show Lost, I have no interest in the comparisons between the two shows. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
While I am a big Star Wars fan, I still have no interest in comparing the two shows. Okay. After I listened to the first few shows, I downloaded a bunch of shows and somehow got them out of order and happened upon the one where you're discussing the emails from listeners, some of who also share my feelings about the comparisons between Lost and Once Upon a Time. While I had no interest in comparing the two shows and wanted to enjoy Once Upon a Time in its own right, I feel that your podcast discussions about Once Upon a Time based on its own merits enough to make it a very enjoyable podcast for me. Have the comparisons bothered me enough to grate on me, as your listener said, I would have just quit listening. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to share my opinions and let you know that I love the way you two point out things I have missed in the show, such as Emma's blanket in numerous scenes and the fact that it was Snow White's coffin at the bottom of the mine shaft. He said, missed that part due to my puppy. Oh, it's okay.
Aww.
Puppies are good.
Puppies are sweet.
And yeah, you can rewind. also, from listening to all the podcasts in 2 days, I can say that there has been a big improvement in the sound quality and the flow of the narrative from the first podcast to your most recent podcast. The interview with the woman who knitted Emma's blanket was also a great show. It was nice to hear a little background on the making of the show. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to hearing many more great discussions. That is a great email.
It's fantastic.
You know, because you go from one point, kind of working on through.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep.
That's a great email. Yep. We like that. And we're glad that you're listening. If I could talk today, it'd be awesome. We're glad that you enjoy it.
Yep.
And hope that you continue to enjoy it.
Yeah, this is not
tell your friends.
Yeah, this is, yes, please. This is not a sweeps week podcast here.
No.
I think we've.
But that's
and I'm
okay.
Only drinking water, people.
I know.
So, you have one?
I do. So, this is from David, and he's talking about one of our podcasts. I'm not sure which episode it was we were talking about this, but he said, we wonder if only certain people know about Storybrooke or how to enter it. And he said, certainly there must be truckers coming in fairly regularly with gasoline, produce, and other food products, new clothing, etc. And then he said, and P.S., Newfoundland is not its own country. Yeah. It was the last province to join Canada in 1949. There are 10 provinces and 3 territories. We have states here in the U.S., and Canada has provinces and territories.
David B.
Yes, that was David B. Yeah. And, okay, so yes, to kind of address the PS first, yes, we recognize Newfoundland is not its own country.
We're sending everyone in Newfoundland
an apology.
No. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Newfoundland, all of you. And Canada.
And Canada.
And in general.
Which
sorry.
We apologized before, but we're going to say it again because, again, it came back to, you know, I mean, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
We've already apologized.
All right.
But anyway, but back to the whole trucking in food and produce and things like that. Okay. I would imagine there might be, but then again, I mean, think about this. I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm not saying that he's wrong. I'm just saying, it's fairy tale world, right?
Well,
underneath.
Yeah.
Around in and about the same general vicinity, right? So if that's the case, it's pretty magical. Don't you think that the food just kind of appears?
Well,
I mean,
true.
That would explain now, why now we don't see any.
Okay, let me go out on a thin ice here. Now, just hang on with me, everybody. Now, with Lost, hold on. Just hold on a second. In Lost, there was this magical island that there was this cache of food.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no regular that I can remember. I mean, they dropped food. Like,
dropped food twice, at least, that I can think of.
Okay. But it was always...
wasn't food, just food. It was supplies.
Right. So the question was always, well, where did all this food come from?
Right.
So I guess from my point of view, I totally understand where David's coming from. Mm-hmm. Is, well, look, I mean, there's food in the diner, and I did see food on plates in the diner.
Okay.
And so people are eating something. Just besides apples, there is food.
Sure.
And there were plates of food that the lady was taking away from the little diner cooker area there.
And we know there's a clothing store and the bakery and all kinds of stuff. Right. Now, granted, bakery would probably bake their own products, but the supplies you need, such as, you know, flour and eggs and sugar and milk and things like that, probably don't just grow on trees.
Right. Now, I will give you that this, I'm putting it in neutral a bit and saying, I just believe that it's happening. Okay. How? I don't know. But, I mean, he has a valid point in that, okay, the writers have basically said only some people can get out. And it even appears that Emma cannot get out.
She can if she wants to.
Well, okay. She needs to make sure that the wolf is in the animal shelter in a cage and not in the middle of the road as she's leaving.
Yeah.
First of all. So, anyway, but...
Bottom line is, somehow food and stuff, supplies are getting to the town. We don't know how. Whether it's, yes, being trucked in and we just aren't seeing it. Because, again, the focus of the show isn't about the food or how they get their supplies. But then there's also the magical aspect of, yeah, we know it's fairy tale world underneath, so what's to say that they can't just conjure up this stuff?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So I think we may see that.
Maybe
somehow.
We will.
Maybe an airplane.
Yeah, maybe.
The Dharma logo will drop.
Yep.
A bunch of food.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I got an email here from Malini. Hi, Malini. And I'm going to read her thoughts and questions. So... her thoughts are, when Mr. Gold was talking to Emma about losing children, did he talk about his child in Fairy Tale Land, which means he remembers, or did he lose a child in Storybrooke?
It's
a good question.
Yeah.
Or was he just kind of blowing smoke and kind of maybe mystifying her with what he wanted to about children?
Well, because if that's the case, then he would have been doing that because he knows that would have hit home for her.
Right.
He knows her
and
buttons
that's a, and
to
that's
push.
Another possibility.
Well, yeah. I mean, he knows the buttons to push with her. I somehow feel very strongly that because we've always thought this, he knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that he knows who he is and knowing that he doesn't exactly necessarily have all his magical powers. I mean, he kind of does, but he kind of doesn't. The fact is that... he would, if he knows who he is, which we believe he does, then he's going to remember he had a son.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the end game of all of this. I mean, this sounds kind of crazy to say this, but what if this whole entire point of this is Rumpelstiltskin lost his son somehow? Because he said lost. He didn't say, right. He said lose them. You lose them so quickly. You know, he didn't say he died. Lost could mean the boy ran away or he was taken or something to that effect. The point is that what if this whole entire thing is a way for him to get his son back?
So maybe he is the, Jack
maybe.
Of Once Upon a Time. Maybe everything is really pivotal on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe not Emma. But that would actually be the most perfect thing because
mm-hmm.
all this time, well, when you're watching any movie, and especially a mystery, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think it's this person, right? And right. all the time you say, it's that person. And then at the end, even in Scooby-Doo, it's like, oh, it wasn't that person.
Right.
It was the other guy.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, that would be a great thing, is mm-hmm. that we're all watching Emma and we're all watching Regina in this battle.
Right.
But actually, it's Rumpelstiltskin.
It's all about
and
him.
His son and all reuniting
about,
or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I think it's
no,
all about
great.
Him. Like I said, I have a little thing for Rumpelstiltskin right now. So
okay.
what can I say?
Hold on. The man who ran, number two, what did he run away from? Who was his wife? Have we met her in the story already? It's great questions.
The man who ran.
Yeah, Rumpelstiltskin, the man who ran.
Oh, that nature of him. Okay, yeah.
Well, that's what Hordor.
Hordor?
Hordor called him.
Yeah.
The man who ran.
Yeah.
And those are good questions. I don't know. And I think he ran maybe because he limped, or maybe when he ran, something happened and that caused the limp. I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe what happened was he had an opportunity to save somebody and he didn't take it because he was too frightened and it would have cost him his own life. And he loved his wife and son too much. Maybe
he left his wife.
Maybe he left.
Or maybe he found her somewhere in the battle. And maybe she saved him. And you know, we've seen in other shows where a person had to become the sacrifice so somebody else could escape.
Yeah. I mean.
Because he was pretty down when he told his son, he goes, no, she's dead. I mean, she's gone. Whatever.
Yeah, somehow I have a feeling that what it was that he escaped somehow, whatever the battle,
right.
He escaped it, and she was so ashamed of him. Maybe he caught her with another man, you know, and maybe she mocked him, taunted him, and she just had the baby, you know, his son.
Right.
And maybe what had happened was that... after he caught her, she took off, or he killed her.
Well,
or
I don't know.
Who knows?
Would
I mean,
really,
there's so many.
He would have to be pushed way over the edge because I don't think he would kill much of anything now. So,
well, maybe. Yeah.
I don't think we've met her yet.
Nope.
Just my opinion. Number three, Emma is a breath of fresh air for the people of Storybrooke because of her hard life. She became tough and can stand up pretty much to anyone, including Regina and Mr. Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
He even said that.
Yep. Yeah, and he said, you're not afraid of me, and that's... Yeah.
Well, he knew that's why he could count on her to do what she did, because... And why that was the perfect way to do it was to cause her to be a fake hero, but then to admit to it.
Right. Well, and Henry already said, he goes, you're brave. And
mm-hmm.
then the latest one, I think he basically said, you're brave again because you did that. You stood up to Mr. Gold. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
this constant reminding.
Right.
I like the role reversal that happened between Henry and Emma. Emma is now pushing herself towards Henry. And Henry, who is always trying to protect Emma, is staying away. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, I'm surprised that Henry hasn't figured out that Mr. Gold is Rumpelstiltskin. And... maybe he knows and he's keeping it a secret. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one because he even acted like he didn't know. I mean, he could have been play acting with her, but I don't think so. I think with Emma, he's really trying really hard to make sure she really believes everything. And I think if he knew, he would have said something to her. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong.
Maybe Mr. Gold got him in a deal to promise not to tell. I don't know.
That's a possibility, I guess.
So, number six, I'm very curious as to what favor Mr. Gold wants from Emma. He seems to be pulling all the stops to make her sheriff and go against Regina. Where is all the hate between Regina and Mr. Gold coming from?
Is it hate, though?
No.
I mean, I don't think they like each other much, but is it really hate? I don't know. It just seems awfully calculated.
Yeah, I see them as...
hate typically is a very emotional thing. It doesn't seem emotional between the two of them to me. That's just my take.
It's like a Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Moriarty. It's a very It's a very respectful, tempered, respectful kind of like
dislike.
Right. And
yeah, kind of is.
So that's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, number seven, another role reversal. I'm glad it's happening. Is the one between Mary Margaret and Emma. Emma used to always give advice to Mary Margaret. I like how Mary Margaret is now stepping into this maternal role, mm-hmm. giving Emma advice.
Yep.
I totally agree.
We saw that too.
It's cool. In both cases of the role reversals that Emma experiences, I think it shows us her hard exterior is slowly breaking. She came to Storybrooke, walled up and dark. She was selfless in helping people. I like how now she's willing to accept help. That's true. Who is Rumpel's son? Have we seen him in Storybrooke? That is a very good question.
Yeah.
That a lot of people are asking, and we've kind of touched on that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Tidbits. There is a woman who caught my attention during the debate. She was sitting in front of Mr. Gold, and there was something about her that made me think there's more to her than just being a concerned citizen trying to listen to the debate to make an unbiased decision. I think we will see her again sometime in a bigger role. I've inserted the picture. I'm probably wrong, but I just keep looking at her when they focused on Mr. Gold. I think this is similar to your sweeper woman theory, Jeff, and that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
She may not be the sweeper woman, but she did kind of stick out, and it's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
I took a screenshot of the box of Graham's things in the box that Mr. Gold had. Based on the contents, we can say that Graham's full name is Graham Humbert, mm-hmm. and he organized a charity event based on the newspaper clipping. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Malini.
Yes. Awesome.
And she was annoyed with the PCA results, as were we all.
Oh, yeah, we were.
So.
We were indeed. So, David B. came back with a couple things for us. The first thing is, when the knight tells Rumpel to kiss his boot, his son is holding the lantern in his left hand. There's a quick cut to Rumpel, then back to his son, and it's like literally a split second or two, and then he's holding the lantern in his right hand. So, continuity issue, kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Second, Emma is wearing her usual red jacket inside Gold's shop, but at the debate and then at the restaurant, she's wearing a brown jacket. The jackets are custom made for Jennifer Morrison at a Vancouver store. Very wow. cool. Very cool tidbit. That's really cool. Secondly, I actually noticed that too, and then I started thinking about that. The fact is, so red is typically the color associated with the dark characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rumpel,
I think, yeah.
Gold,
mm-hmm.
Evil Queen.
Yep.
So if we're starting to see Emma kind of melting away that tough exterior, like Melanie mm-hmm. just said, then it would stand to reason that she's going to go for a softer color, and she's going to go more towards, well, I don't know what she'll go towards, but she, with the choice of brown, kind of like what her mom was wearing when she was in the forest, when she met Prince Charming. Just
yep.
a thought.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're going to start changing her color palette now that she's softening things up a bit.
Possibly.
Oh, you've got some more? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this is for Karine. Hi, Karine. Sorry again. We got your name right this time?
Yes, we do.
Hi. Listening to the interview with Caitlin right now, and can I just tell you, I'm so excited. I've made a note of every time Emma's blanket has been shown, not just because of paying attention to details, but also because I'm a fiber and mixed media artist as well. And I have to tell you, until this whole thing happened, I never really realized how big this was. And we'll keep going with this email, but I mean, I'm shocked. So let's see here. There is an online member site called Ravelry. Facebook for knitters, crocheters, spinners, and dyers. Honestly, I mean, I thought there was just knitters and crocheters. I had no idea that there are yarn spinners and dyers and all this.
Mm-hmm.
They topped over 1 million members in 2010. I think that's what Caitlin mentioned too.
Yeah.
So goodness knows what the numbers are now. Of course, a once upon a time group formed there immediately. Fiber people got pretty excited and obsessive. Anytime we see anything hand-knit, crocheted, or anyone knitting in the media. That's fantastic. That's That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
It really is wild. And just who knew? Within minutes, discussions will start with screenshots and the works. As a matter of fact, Ravelry is actually how I found out about your podcast. And I just want to stop there and say, this is what I mean about spreading the word.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never thought ever to go to a knitting Facebook type site and say, hey, we're doing a podcast about Once Upon a Time. It would have never occurred to me.
Right, right.
But that's how she heard.
And we are so grateful to the folks at Ravelry.
Whoever
is out there posting our information, which I know, I'm sure Helga is one.
Yes.
And so, we're so grateful for that.
So that's kind of the mindset, is however it can connect with another group, then we need to kind of reach out there.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever and however.
Sorry.
Caitlin belongs to Ravelry as well. So we are anxiously waiting for her pattern to be available on the site. Anyway, thanks for the interview and giving a shout out to the Fiber Handmade community. And I have to say, years ago, I discovered Etsy, which is a handmade whole site and place that people can sell their handmade crafts as well. So
right.
I didn't know that, but I did not know about Ravelry ever. So it's just very interesting, this new things. By the way, what did you make of the fact that Mr. Gold used the same phrase on Emma that the previous Dark One used on him about always being able to recognize a desperate soul? Could the favor in the future be Emma putting him out of his misery, thus ending the curse but beginning hers? That would suck. Take care, Karine. And we did talk about that, and I think that's on the table. And I think that's a pretty solid
theory. Yep. Oh, yeah. So. It's definitely a possibility, and it seems pretty plausible and very likely. But again, you never know what they'll do. You just never know.
You got one?
I do.
Okay.
Okay, David B. again. So he says that he doesn't recall seeing Ginger or Miss Ginger, the Blind Witch, in this episode, meaning Desperate Souls, nor Doc or Sneezy. Do you? And actually, I do recall seeing both. Right?
We have screenshots of Doc and the Blind Witch.
Now, I didn't catch it at first and had to go see it again and then oh, there he is. Okay, that makes sense.
I don't remember seeing Sneezy.
I don't recall seeing Sneezy again, but yeah. I might have because I saw somebody that I was like, oh, wait. That looks like one of the dwarves, but I wasn't sure. And so it was real quick and I never went back to look at it. So he supposedly is in there, though. Now, Hordor was the knight who told Rumple to kiss his boot, right? That's what we understand. That was the way we understood it. Balefire was Rumple's son, but I don't recall seeing the Duke. Do you?
The Duke was mentioned as played by a different person. I don't recall seeing the Duke.
Yeah, the Duke, the person who played the Duke was Michael Finnessy. I don't know that I would know or recognize him. And maybe he was somewhere in the background. We just didn't see him.
Well, crazy theory, and I may get whatever for this. But, the difference between the beggar's face and the Dark One's face, maybe the Dark One's face was that actor.
Oh, maybe.
And that's a huge stretch. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't remember seeing the Duke.
Okay, yeah, and that's the whole thing. So he says, I only recall seeing the Duke's castle, or is the Duke the person who told Rumple to kiss his boot? If that's the Duke, then who the heck was Hordor? Sounds like Mordor from Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Which, by the way, here's a little Lord of the Rings connection, is that Brad Dourif was the old beggar. He was the Dark One. Brad Dourif was in Lord of the Rings Two Towers.
Right.
Okay. But here's another little tidbit that I asked you, and I actually stumped you, didn't know you didn't know this.
I did not.
Brad Dourif was the voice of Chucky in all the Chucky movies.
Yep.
That's, you would never know that.
Exclusive here, folks. You don't have to check Wikipedia. We'll tell you.
It's true.
Those little things.
It's true.
So I have got one from Bob. Thanks, Bob. Hey, Jeff and Colleen. Just got to my DVR'd episode a couple of thoughts. Is it only me or is anyone else doing continual double takes when you see and hear Robert Carlyle with Harry Ian Cusick? What do you?
Henry Ian Cusick? Yeah, yep. That was Desmond.
Right. Mm-hmm. It kind of has the same brogue.
Who? Rumble?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're both Scottish.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I could listen to Robert Carlyle all day long, and I could have listened and looked at Henry Ian Cusick all day long, too.
Yeah, just Robert Carlyle needed kind of a beard and a mustache, and
I would have seen him. He's totally fine.
All right. So interesting that he limps before taking the Dark One's power, does not afterward, then appears to need a cane and Storybrooke again. And I think it just shows that the dark power does relieve some type of ailment or pain or something for a while. But well, then when you cross over, it's back so that it's not a full blown. It's like the Evil Queen can shut a door by moving her hand or raise a bunch of swords with her hand and throw them magically. But when she gets to Storybrooke, she has to close a door manually. She has no magical power, like right. The Force or whatever. So,
well, and I think too that, yeah, the dark one power isn't so much, there's so much strength behind that power that any physical imperfections are.
Well, what's interesting then Storybrooke is the best. What is that thing when things are even? Equalizer.
Yeah.
Storybrooke is the equalizer.
Oh, totally.
Because all these people with all this magical power, when they go to Storybrooke, even though Evil Queen said, I'm going to take away your happy endings and I'm going to send you somewhere horrible, it's horrible for her as well.
Right.
Because she can't really wield the power that she had.
Which she didn't really have much.
Anyway. Right. And she had to beg and borrow and try and
steal.
Kill people and all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi there, this is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
When his son confronts him on the truth about his mother running away versus being dead, as Rumple had originally told him, Rumple looks down and mutters she is dead. Given that he knew the boy was not his, could Rumple have killed his wife? That's certainly possible.
And maybe he did out of, you know, a crime of passion, rage.
It would have had to have taken a lot, though. It's just my opinion for that to happen.
Again, let's take this, though.
I never really thought that wasn't his son.
I don't know if he was saying it because he knows for a fact that that wasn't his son. Maybe Hordor is the kid's real dad.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe he's the one who had an affair because he seemed to know an awful lot about Rumpelstiltskin's wife.
Okay. All right.
So it's possible that he's the one who had the affair with her. Maybe that's, you know, Balefire's real dad. But then the other thing is, if none of that is true, then what would have flipped Rumpelstiltskin out or broken him even more?
Right.
Because obviously talking about his physical imperfection would not have, that didn't do it.
Right.
I mean, that was annoying him, but I don't think that really, really got to him. What I think got to him was that talking about the fact that he wasn't his own son. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Inferring that he wasn't his biological child. And the only reason what excuse did he have for it? He didn't have any, he didn't come out and go, I know that, you know, she had an affair with so-and-so. I mean, he didn't say that. He said, because he's so strong and he's willing to fight and you're such a coward. I mean,
right. That's
really all he said.
Yeah.
So we don't know at this point what really happened. We don't know if we'll ever have that backstory. We may. You never know.
All right. Let's see. Agrees with me on the odd phrasing. He will truly become dust when he loses his boy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting thing. I have a slightly different view than Colleen on Mr. Gold's relationship to Emma. I don't see his interest as an attraction, a reminder of his son's morals. I think he sees her as a key player in the next critical steps of the intricate plan. Recall he knew or set up the condition of the curse, that in 28 years a person would come to break the curse. Further, he knew this person would be Snow White's daughter. Hence why he asked for her name, and he knew that it was a girl,
mm-hmm.
so that he would be able to recognize her. So now that she's there, his plan is in motion, and he believes Emma's roles, actions must be carefully guided from here on out to get what he wants. What is that? One can only assume more power. I think that even Regina recognizes his motivation. In the pilot in the prison, he said that in his new land, he wants comfort. Regina said, fine, you'll be the richest man there. But he never said he wanted money. He said he never wanted to be weak again, to be all powerful. True. The next point. Although unwittingly manipulated, Emma ought not feel obligated to Mr. Gold about getting her elected. This was not a bargain she entered into by choice. Everyone has a choice. Even though he has volunteered to help her, her only debt to him was one made at the hospital for Mr. Gold to drop his baby claim. But she should be able to hold her head up high about getting the sheriff job, as she did all the right things. Thanks for the great podcast, Bob. Thanks, Bob. And that's absolutely true, is, you know, that, and that was what she wanted to show Henry, that when you do good and you do right,
mm-hmm.
good things happen.
Right.
And I really thought that was a tender moment, that she was modeling good behavior for Henry. And yeah. she could have went along with it because it would have been easy. But
so what was the part he was saying about that he, because I want to make sure I understand what he's trying to say about when he referenced that he didn't agree with me, because I want to make sure that what I was saying, he understood what I was saying. Does that make sense?
Okay. So let me take a glance.
Yeah, I'll take a glance. You find the next one.
Okay. So. Looking. I'm only going to read. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, okay, now I understand what he's saying. Okay, so basically, I think in the last time we talked about the fact that I don't really think there was an attraction there necessarily to Emma. Maybe that came across, and if so, that's not what I meant to say, because I don't really think that he's attracted to her in any way, shape, or form. But I did kind of think that maybe he knew that since she had the same morals as his son, she would go with what was right, because that's what he was, you know, his son was going to go fight because that was the right thing to do. Whereas I think he believes that Emma would have done exactly the same thing she did because that was the right thing to do. That's mm-hmm. what I meant. So I think we were on the same page. I think it just kind of maybe came across differently. So anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm going to read part of this because the next part is kind of spoilery. So just telling you. Thanks, Obie's girl, for this. I know three emails from me in 1 week, and this is a long one because I have so many once thoughts. You can split up this email if you like, and the last part is a wish list for future once episodes. And I had an epiphany about Shepherd James, Prince James, mm-hmm. Snow White, and the idea of destiny. I know we only saw Prince James, that is the original Prince Charming, once before he was brutally killed in The Shepherd, but I thought, what if that Prince James was actually destined to marry Snow White? And if then, why didn't it happen? I think when Queen declared Snow White an outlaw, that canceled the betrothal plans for Prince James and Snow White. But when Prince James died suddenly in The Shepherd, and King George wanted his son back, but Rumpel said, no, that's not possible because he was dead, but there was another, that automatically put destiny back on track for Shepherd James, who became the new Prince Charming to meet, fall in love with, and marry Snow White. I think if the original Prince Charming had lived, he might have been the one to marry Abigail, King Midas's daughter, and his twin brother still marry Snow White. That would have made Snow White and Abigail sister-in-laws, which would have been very interesting to see how those two got along or didn't. And I read a speculative Tumblr post that maybe Tumblr's huge. I don't know if you knew this. I'm just mm-hmm. going to go off on a bit of a tangent. But, I mean, that's like the big go-to blog community, period.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's huge, especially mm-hmm. for these type of TV and that kind of thing. So that maybe the Queen's lover was actually Prince James, the twin that was killed. and maybe she was pregnant with his baby, but Snow White thought her dad was the father and told him excitedly about, without getting all the facts. So, secondly, okay, yeah, this is the next kind of spoilery thing. So what do you think about that?
Well, it doesn't it wouldn't surprise me if that does somehow turn out to be the case as far as James being the original James or the original prince being the queen's lover. Because she has a thing for younger men, obviously.
Okay.
Or slightly younger men, I guess. You know, Graham's a little bit younger. So I just, yeah, that's kind of an interesting, fascinating theory.
There's the phone.
Fantastic.
There's the phone.
And I can't answer it either.
No.
Ay, caramba.
See, you don't like me to, unplug the phone. But I like to unplug the phone.
I know.
I just don't remember to plug it back in.
So back to this.
Sorry.
What we were saying was, no, interesting theories, interesting thoughts. I think anything is possible. And, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Maybe we will see at some point in time that, you know, Regina and the original prince were connected somehow. Okay. What you doing there, Sparky?
What do you got there?
Well, I have this one from Adrienne from New Orleans.
Okay.
She says, "Hi, I've been listening since the second podcast and I love your show. I really should write in more, but I do want to say that I loved, loved, loved the First Thoughts podcast. Thanks. We weren't sure if that would be a good thing, so we're glad to hear we got some good feedback on that."
Thank you.
"I always have a whole bunch of things in my head right after I watch, and it is so interesting to listen to you guys have the same bunch of ideas and connections and thoughts, and a bunch I never did. Anyway, I loved it, warts and all, and I hope you continue to make them. Plus, it really made me want to watch the show again as soon as I get home this afternoon. So, thanks, and I look forward to more." And then she has a P.S. She says to me, "Colleen, I've totally got the wow, Rumpelstiltskin is oddly attractive vibe, so don't feel bad. You aren't alone at all." I'm telling you, there is something incredibly attractive about a bad guy, so to speak, who appears maybe bad, but then you see the sensitive side of him. I'm telling you, if you girls haven't figured this out yet, there is nothing sexier than a man who loves his wife or his woman to the point of distraction and would do anything for her. A man who loves his kids to the point of distraction would do anything for them. You get those two things going on, and OMG.
It's always the last 10 minutes of the show.
Sorry.
It's always something goes on. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. Okay.
You having a little problem there, honey?
No. I'm actually fine. Okay.
Okay.
There's a couple of more emails, and then we're done. We're already at an hour and a half.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep moving.
So, okay. This is another incredible email, just blew me away. Got it today. So, "Hi, Jeff and Colleen. First off, let me mention I really enjoy your excellent and informative Once Upon a Time podcast and website. My family and I are hooked on Once and have discussions among ourselves every week like you and Colleen have on your podcast. Our interest started out of curiosity because we live in Steveston."
Wow!
They live in Steveston.
That's awesome.
Incredible. "3 blocks away from the Real Storybrooke Library and Marine Garage."
Oh, man.
Can you imagine? He's got a little story. I'll keep going. "And had been watching them film all last summer." Dude.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah.
"I caught your recent podcast this morning, and there were a couple of questions that I may be able to shed some light on. The Real Storybrooke building does exist with the turret structure, but it does not have the clock dome. The clock is added via CG, I'm guessing since it would look impractical to build it and take it down after the shoots." That's wild.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep. "In real life, it's a great fishing supply store for, but this guy lives there. Isn't this wild?
That is awesome. Keep going.
Okay. "For both commercial and recreational fishermen called NICA, Fishing Marine. Yes, there is a real Greek restaurant next to Dave's Fish and Chips called Kisamos Greek Taverna. I've never dined there, but it always is crowded during the summertime. Dave's Fish and Chips is its real name and serves excellent fish and chips. I can attest to that. This is great. Most of the businesses shown are real stores, but with changed names, of course. For example, Storybrooke Hardware and Paint is really the Steveston Hardware Store. And the Marine Garage is really called the Marine Garage and is a working car garage. The Storybrooke Country Bread, in reality, is the Ramona Country Bread. Mm. As a side note, interestingly, the Storybrooke Country Bread sign is not taken down. See attached links for layout of Steveston Village. At the nearby Gary Point Park is where Henry's Castle play structure was filmed. And according to his map, it says it's a 5-minute walk from Moncton Street, which is where all the main shops are.
Right.
So a couple of stores were empty, and I'm guessing they have been leased out to the movie production since the signs were not taken down. Mr. Gold's Pawn Shop is one of them. Actually, when the sign went up, I thought it was a real pawn shop. On a personal note, this is great. On a personal note, my aunt lived in that building when she was a child some 75 years ago.
Wow.
In addition, the other permanent storefront, Worthington Haberdashery, has been changed to the, this may be spoilery, but that's fine, the Storybrooke Animal Shelter.
No, that's not spoilery at all.
Yep. If I remember the name correctly, and you do.
Oh, that's awesome.
The main red brick building that are in many of the shots across the street from Granny's Diner is really a historical building here in Steveston. A huge fire ravaged the fishing village of Steveston in the early 1900s, which destroyed most of the buildings. Can you believe this?
Mm.
The building survived because it was made out of brick. This building houses the Purbeck Shoe Store on the corner next to Neighbors Five and Dime, Standard Clocks, Modern Fashions. Archie's office is upstairs at the back of the building. I noticed the last couple of setups, they have included a signage called Rabbit Hole Bar Tavern, which I don't think has appeared in any of the episodes yet. Nope, not yet. Many movies, for instance, Charlie St. Cloud and TV series have been shot here in Steveston over the years, but this past spring, summer have been particularly busy. At one time, in addition to one, Secret Circle, Diary of a Wimpy Kid 3 were filming here all at the same time, around the same time. I'm hoping what I've written is of some interest. Yes, it is.
Thank Huge. You.
If you have any specific questions, please let me know. Ken. Thanks doesn't even really go into
what I'm
trying to say. I really appreciate it, Ken, so much. And you've been more than kind. P.S. We normally walk our dog through Steveston, so we come across the shots often. The first time we literally almost bumped into Jennifer Morrison in front of Mr. Gold's Pawn Shop. We have stopped to watch them film some and have seen Jennifer Goodwin and Josh Dallas doing takes. The crew members are very friendly, cordial, and respectful of us regular folks.
Nice. Wait. I want to go back to that rabbit hole.
Right.
Rabbit hole?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think we might see an Alice in there.
Oh,
somewhere.
Sure. Absolutely. And because one of the pages in Henry's book.
And the Mad Hatter then.
Yeah, there's a hat shop, right?
Awesome.
Yep.
It's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. Okay. No, that was awesome information, Ken, by the way.
Thank you, Ken. Oh, boy.
We love having that inside scoop. That's fantastic. Okay.
He's helping with the street and the map and all the stores and everything. Thank you so much for that.
That's amazing. Okay. So this one is from Jared from New York City. Yay, New York.
Yep.
First off, your show is so well done. I love the non-scripted back and forth conversation. You guys rock. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We like the non-scripted stuff, too. If we could just talk.
This is an acquired taste, people.
It really is.
This show is kind of like sushi. Some people don't like sushi, and some people just love it. So, anyway.
Okay, so He says, I'm writing about an observation I had way back since Snow Falls. Now, to preface, I'm a huge Disney fan. I used to work at Walt Disney World and have participated and won in my fair share of trivia contests. And there's one big issue that has been plaguing my mind. Prince Charming is the prince from Cinderella. The prince from Snow White was just named the Prince. In Walt Disney World, we knew him as the Snow Prince to differentiate. Just check the credits of the films and you shall see. The prince is prince, the queen is queen, the huntsman was huntsman. And that's correct. And I actually made that comment in my head and I just never voiced it. But I agree. That was one of the things that kind of like threw me for a loop too, was Prince Charming is Cinderella. Anyway, at the beginning of Snow Falls, I was sure that Charming was in the carriage with Cinderella and I was totally on board. How could I not? She had the blue dress. Charming leaves Cindy for Snow. I was ready to give Cindy Glass the headlines, but alas, it ended up being Midas's daughter, Abigail. So this means either A, it was a big writer's mistake, which I can believe because many people confuse the two princes, or B, Prince Charming is somehow going to end up with Cinderella in a later season. I'm looking more towards the former than the latter, but you never know. I wanted to thank you so much for this podcast. There was a big void in my life when Lost ended. My girlfriend and I used to take the train all the way from Brooklyn to Long Island just so we could watch Lost as a family. I missed the fan interaction, the podcasts, the theories, etc. Now with Once Upon a Time, we found something else my mom, my girlfriend, and I could watch together. Combined with your show, I feel like Lost is back. Do not give up the connections, whatever anyone says. They are the intricate threads mixed with Disney and fairy tales that make up the entirety of the show. Keep it up because we, your fans, love you. That is awesome.
That's wonderful.
Absolutely awesome. Now, I'm going to go back real quick to the whole Prince Charming Prince thing and the theory that, you know, maybe he'll leave her for Cinderella or he's going to, it was a writer's mistake. I don't know if it was a mistake or if it was intentional, even though that's where my head's leaning. And I think that goes back to what I was saying earlier, where they've taken a few liberties with these stories and they're not falling completely true to the stories, but they're pulling the elements that we all know and love from the different fairy tales. That's where I think they're going with that.
The one Lost connection that I almost said, but I didn't, was when Saeed was given the knife to kill Locke.
Mm-hmm.
And he stabbed Locke in Lost, and Locke did not die. So when Rumpelstiltskin stabbed the Dark One,
mm-hmm.
and he actually did die, I went, okay, well, that's kind of different. But the first thought was that it was okay. Because at first he laughed
mm-hmm.
when he stabbed him. But the Dark One laughed because he got what he wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was he killed him, and he could let loose of the burden of all this. So
exactly. Well,
it almost was, but it wasn't. But
yeah.
we'll get to a connection to that in a little bit.
Okay. Well, anyway, but no, Jared, we're so glad that you found the show and that you really enjoy it and that you guys have, as a family, something you can watch. And that's, I mean, something we've loved about this show from the beginning is that it is a family event. It can be a family event, and it's pretty awesome.
Well, and I just... That was a great email. When I first read it, I got kind of misty because it was just, it was so nice and there were so many different parts mm-hmm. of family sharing something.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, he listens to us blather when he's on the train.
Right.
You know, and there's somebody else actually that said that they have a bus ride in Boston.
Oh, wow.
And they listen in the bus. So anyway, it's just, it touches us. And thank
really
you
does.
So much. Really.
We are really humbled by that. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got another one. You have no more emails. Here. Here's a couple of them. Sorry. I'm hoarding the emails here.
Sharing the love.
Here's one from Marianne, actually. Thanks for the podcast. I'm new to the podcast world. Only listened to some of Damien and Carlton's Lost podcast. So happy to have someone to book club with. I've only listened to a few of the most recent, and I enjoyed the First Thoughts episode. I haven't made it into the blog world yet, but I love listening while I drive and stuff. Shame on any haters. How dare they complain about something free? Yes, thank you very much for that
thank
support.
You.
We appreciate that. Here's some of my first thoughts. Rumpel could have had Emma appointed as sheriff by asking the mayor and saying, please. Oh, hello. We didn't even think about that.
Hmm.
That just did not even cross my mind. My thought is that he took the hard way on purpose to allow the door to be open for something in the future. I'm totally in agreement with that.
Hmm.
His elaborate plot was for more than just to get Emma into the sheriff role. That could have been easy. Is it to make Regina think Emma had an enemy in Mr. Gold? Something more? Oh my gosh. Hmm. Brilliant. Wow. Totally would not have even thought. Second, does Rumple make books? Could he have made the fairy tale book Henry has? That could explain how everyone looks just like themselves, since I think Rumple retains his memories too. This could be his way of ending his own curse. This curse to end all curses. This is the curse to end all curses, after all. That's a fascinating theory. That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, because we don't know who wrote the book. We keep asking who wrote it. We don't know. So how do we know that he didn't write it?
Right.
He could have very easily done that.
I can't remember that someone did say, well, maybe it was the Grimm brothers and they're locked up in the free public library that's all boarded up.
Yeah, so, it's another great theory.
Yeah.
And then she says, thanks again. And this has been bugging me. You're going to agree with this, I think, when I read this. Doesn't adult Geppetto have an accent? So why didn't child Geppetto have one? She's got a really good point.
Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe it kind of evolved.
Accents don't reverse themselves like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever your accent is as a child, that's typically the one you keep. But it's easier to go from another language accent to English, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
It's easier to lose a different accent than it is to gain one. Because, I mean, sadly, I would say that most Americans have trouble with accents.
That's true. So, this is kind of a quick one from David B. Thanks, David B. Mm-hmm. Love the idea of the special podcast right after OUAT airs. Please continue this. Okay, I'll try and stay awake tonight. And I'll try not to, although this has been tough. Anyways, so in episode 8, there's lots of twos. Two worlds, mm-hmm. Okay, fairy tale mm-hmm. world, real world. 2 weeks since Graham died, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Two badges seen together on the table, sheriff badge and the deputy sheriff's badge. Mm-hmm. Although I think she was wearing the sheriff's badge. But anyway, I think
she's wearing the deputy badge.
I think you were thinking of her star keychain. But anyway, kind of close proximity.
But, yeah.
Two candidates for sheriff. Yep. Mm-hmm. Rumple's son, Balfire, to turn 14 in 2 days. Mm-hmm. Is it two or three, I think?
Two.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Two walkie-talkies. Yep. Freeze frame shot of the second main storybook. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Expression kiss my boot said two times. Mm-hmm. Once by the knight, then by Rumple. Two caps hats. Mary Margaret and David each wearing one.
Very good.
Very good.
Very interesting.
And more than two people, but not much more. In the city hall for the debate. Not a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
So, but I saw Ruby. Anyway, so let's see here. This is from David B. In his shop, Mr. Gold told Emma that spending time with one's child is very precious. And before you know it, you lose them. Is this the key to why Rumple wants to acquire children? His own son, Balfire, either ran away in fear of his father, was killed in the Ogre Wars, or maybe Rumple killed him in a fit of rage, and now he's trying to redeem himself by making deals for children because he longs to have a child of his own, just as Regina does, to fill the void. Hmm. David B. And that's interesting. Possibly, but who knows?
Yeah, because I don't know if it's ever really explained in the actual fairy tale. Why does Rumpelstiltskin want the firstborn? Why does he care about the kid? And it may very well be that he just had such a huge desire to have his own. Maybe because his son was gone, that was the whole thing. So anyway.
Okay. One more. And I thought I printed this out and I don't know where it went, but a good listener friend, Dave, sent in an email and said that sometimes when I bring up Star Wars connections, he rolls his eyes and he was admitting that's what he did. Dave, you are not the only eye roller out there. I'm quite sure I make a lot of people's eyes roll. So.
But, okay, again, it comes back to what we said. Okay, if we can make these connections to Star Wars or Lost or
right.
the fairy tales, because they're there. But again, everything comes back to even those things are not original stories. So
No. I think what he was saying is, I mean, yeah, sometimes there's a line that's partially exact, but the rest of it's not. And I know what he was saying. But I mean, it just kind of certain things hit me at certain points. And maybe it's more me and maybe it's less the show. So I'll try and kind of make it more solid. So that's my promise. But he did bring up the fact that and this is really interesting, the mm-hmm. Dark One was being ruled by the Duke.
Mm-hmm.
So in Star Wars, and this is what Dave was mentioning, it reminded him of Anakin and Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
And in Star Wars, Yoda says, now hold on, people, I'm getting somewhere. Yoda said there's always two, the master and the apprentice.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, and in that, you have this kind of struggle because the apprentice always wants to be the master and that kind of a thing. So there's always mm-hmm. this kind of tension. And what was interesting is David pointed out, as Obi's girl pointed out, is Anakin's trek toward power. Because initially, when Anakin was young, he told his mom, he goes, one day I'm going to come back, I'm going to free the slaves and all this. And then he fell in love with Padme, and his love shifted from his mom, who's dead, to Padme. And he goes, I want the power to keep you from dying in childbirth. So there was right. this fear. He had these nightmares and all this. And so that's why he wanted this power. And then Palpatine basically said, you know, have I ever told you that, you know, the dark side of the Force give you the power over death? And then he told his story about Darth Plagueis and all this kind of stuff, which hooked him in.
Right.
And that's, he only needed a little nudge, and then he was in.
Right.
But what's interesting about Once Upon a Time is Rumpel wanted so much power that he didn't want to rule the Dark One. He wanted the Dark One's power. And that's when he really went over the edge, because the Duke didn't even do that.
No, but again, that remember, the whole point of why he did that was I still believe he loved his son so much that he figured if he could keep if he had the power over the Dark One, yeah, he could probably get the Dark One to do his own stuff. But at what point would he trust the Dark One to actually continue to do whatever he wanted?
So it gets back to that kind of mistrust. And that
a little bit,
between I think. The two.
But then he also, I think, kind of like what you said with Anakin a little bit, is that he felt, well, wait a minute. If controlling the Dark One gives me, you know, the ability to mm-hmm. do this, if I am the Dark One, right. I have ultimate control.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Palpatine said, you know, ultimate power, you know. So anyway, but no, great point. My only... two more things and then I'm done. The blue mystical thing that the Dark One was holding up
mm-hmm.
when the mother, I believe, or actually the daughter
mm-hmm.
was going to go like kill somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
The Dark One uncovers some kind of a blue something. We don't know what that was. Obviously, it wasn't, I don't think, the dagger.
The dagger
was at the Duke's castle.
Right, right, right.
Hidden behind this flimsy...
curtain.
Burnable.
Curtain.
Curtain or
coat of arms.
Something.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that was, but it did seem a lot like when Rumpelstiltskin was captured magically by signing mm-hmm. with that
mm-hmm.
quill.
Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
there was a blue kind of a haze around it. I'll put a screenshot up of it when we have 50 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do that. So, but anyway, that was just... I don't know what that blue thing was that the Dark One was holding. I don't know if Rumpel has it now. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, we don't know. We have no idea what that was.
But anyway.
Was it an object or was it just his magical force, life force? What, I don't know. Anyway, here's one little quick last thought. So the whole... Seriously.
Okay.
The whole thing about whoever controls the dagger, whoever owns the dagger controls the Dark One. Did that remind you a little bit of Aladdin and the genie in the lamp?
Mm.
Just saying. Dagger, yep. Lamp, similar.
True. So, I know this has been a bit of a bumpy ride we've talked about a lot of different things and, you know, kind of changing focus mm-hmm. And all that and, you know, some different things. So, but hang in there with us. We want to continue to create the best show possible, and we need you. And I know to take this show to the next level is going to take more from the great listeners. And, mm-hmm. and I think until you guys know, you guys won't know how to help
right.
and what to do.
Right.
So we've kind of lined out some things, and I'm going to put a little link on the front page of the website at ouat.ronizone.com or onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have a little help promote us or promote a little thing that you can click on. It'll take you to a page that'll give you some great tips, great hints about how to help us continue to promote this show so that we can have more and more listeners and build just the greatest group of listeners from pockets like knitting and other things that maybe we've never thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think this is a great show. And I think just when people get the opportunity to hear it, they can make up their mind. But we've been so humbled and just amazed at the group of people that have already said, you know, this is just great. To read the iTunes reviews is really an amazing thing
mm-hmm.
that they get the things that you and I have kind of talked about in private. I want the show to be this, and I think it's important to do that. And they're getting it. They're understanding it. So anyway, that's it for now. And we'll be recording again in a few hours.
Yeah. After the show.
And, so hang in there with us. We're just two people that, you know, really love the show and really care about you guys. And we're trying to do the best we can. And we really, really appreciate you being along for the ride. Okay.
It's very true. We absolutely do. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
How awesome our fans are. Our listeners are. We don't want to call her. Well, anyway, we love our listeners because we know you guys care about the show and you provide us information we need. And you're along for the ride with us, and we really appreciate that.
The listeners are a very, very, very important part of this show,
mm-hmm.
and it's obvious. So anyway, take care, guys, and we'll be a digital click away, so we'll be talking soon.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.